Now we've got some very brief portions of scripture that I want to read with you this evening. One is in Psalm 95, and then there's a few short portions over in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. So first of all, Psalm 95, and we'll just read two verses there, and then after that we'll be going over to Hebrews chapter 3. So it's first of all the 95th Psalm, and then over to the book of Hebrews. Psalm 95, verse number 7. The Word of God says, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of the temptation in the wilderness." And then over, please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. And we'll read from verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Then moving down to verse number 14 of the same chapter. "For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation." And then last of all, Hebrews chapter 4, just maybe over the page in your Bible. And we'll read again just one verse, and it's verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. "Again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts." We'll end our reading there at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. And we trust and pray that the Lord will write His word upon our hearts for His own name's sake. Can we just wait upon the Lord very briefly and ask the Lord for immediate help from heaven? Let's of all God's people praying, please, that the Lord will move tonight in this meeting, and that the Lord might speak mightily in such a way that it would be impossible for anyone to harden their hearts. Let's pray. Father, we realize, O God, that we are living in the closing days of time. Father, we realize, O God, that time is fleeting and time is so very brief. And here we are, O God, at the end of another year. Closer, O God, than ever before to the great judgment day. And Father, tonight we pray that the solemnity of eternity might descend upon this meeting. We ask, O God, in the Saviour's name, that Thy Spirit will come. Father, we pray that Thou wilt speak loudly. We pray that Thou wilt speak very clearly. We pray that Thou wilt speak very directly. And we pray, Father, that Thou wilt speak effectually. We ask tonight that Thou wilt save. Grant, O God, tonight help from heaven for this preacher. Lord, I need Thee. And I just cast myself poor and needy at Thy feet. And I ask, O God, that Thou wilt take control now. And may none be seen save Christ only. And may none be heard save the voice of Thy Spirit speaking deep into the soul. Answer prayer. We offer it for Thy glory in the name of Thy Son, who alone is worthy. Amen. You know, there is absolutely nothing in the Word of God that is insignificant. Every word and every line and every verse, every chapter, every book of the Bible is inscribed and is written for our learning upon the pages of God's holy word. The word of God says that all scripture is profitable. There's not one text or one verse that we ought to push to one side and say, well, it doesn't really matter what that verse of scripture says because I don't believe that God does anything flippantly. I don't believe that God does anything coincidentally. I don't believe that God speaks without really speaking to our hearts and speaking clearly and audibly. The fact that God has given us the Bible, 66 books from Genesis to Revelation, and the fact that God has allowed men to go to the stake and have their flesh burned with fire and died a martyr's death, that we can have this book today in a language that we can understand, I believe, is something very significant. And if the Bible records something, even once, it's written there for our learning. And it's written there for our instruction. There's nothing insignificant about God's word. But if God speaks twice, we ought certainly to take note. There are many times whenever God has spoken on the same matter more than once. If God speaks three times upon a certain subject, well then God is really trying, I believe, to get our attention. But tonight in God's word, we have read God speaking using exactly the same words four times in scripture. And for God to speak in exactly the same manner on four separate occasions to us as children of Adam, I believe what God is trying to communicate and what God is trying to say is therefore absolutely imperative. Four times we have read this evening these eternal words, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Four times God has spoken, don't harden your heart if you hear my voice. Now God is long-suffering. And God is merciful. And God is gracious. And God is kind. And God is love. And God knows more about the future than any of us know. And God knows more about your heart than you really know. And God knows more about eternity and about hell and about heaven and about judgment than any person knows. And the fact that God tonight has said four times in his word, today, tonight, in this meeting, if you hear God's voice, if you hear my voice, if you hear his voice, he says, harden not your hearts. There must be something of eternal significance that God wants us to grasp and God wants us to understand. Maybe tonight you say, well, preacher, how do we hear God's voice? Well, sometimes God speaks in circumstances and God speaks in providence. Sometimes whenever we stand at the graveside of a loved one, we realize that maybe God is speaking a little bit more loudly than usual. Perhaps whenever we go to a doctor and we get bad news and we perhaps think about our health and think about the future, we realize that maybe this is God in some way speaking to us and helping us to realize eternal realities and the things that really matter in life. Sometimes the Spirit of God speaks directly to the conscience of individuals. Sometimes people know what it is to lie awake at night and their conscience troubled and they maybe don't really, humanly speaking, understand why they're troubled about things that they have never been troubled about before, perhaps troubled about their past or maybe concerned about the future. And so God can speak in circumstances and God can speak into our consciences, but primarily God speaks through his word. God has given us the Bible. And if we're absolutely honest tonight, well, God doesn't really have anything more to say to us tonight because as the canon of Scripture is now complete and God has given us the Old Testament and the New Testament, God doesn't really have anything more to say to us because Everything that we need to know about ourselves, about life, about God, about eternity, and about salvation, God has revealed it as far as we need to understand it in His Word. It's a complete and a full and a final revelation. The Word of God says in the book of Hebrews again, chapter 1, verse 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners, that just means God who at different times and in different ways spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. There were times whenever God raised up men in times past in the Old Testament. Men that heard directly from God and men that spoke with divine authority. But verse number 2 says that God in these last days has spoken unto us by His Son. And everything that God needs and desires to say to a world that is lost in sin, God has said it in the person of Jesus Christ. Will you maybe say, well, maybe that's how God speaks, but what tonight does God say to us? What is God's message for me as a person living outside of God's salvation? I'm not a Christian. I have really no desire for Christian things. Preacher, has God got a word for me tonight? I want to tell you, I believe that He has. I believe that God has a word for you, because whenever the apostles went and preached in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 30, their message was very simple. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God's word and God's command and God's call and God's voice to you tonight is to repent of sin. That is to do an about turn. To turn from the road that you're on that leads to judgment and leads to hell. And to do an about turn and to change your mind and change your heart and change your will about your sin. And trust in Jesus Christ. That's God's message for you, and that's God's message for every individual. God's word is that man is sinful. Man needs to be saved. Man cannot save himself, but God in His grace and mercy sent His only begotten Son into this world to die as a substitute upon the cross and then rise again from the grave that we might be saved. That's what God says in His Word. And dear friends, that's quite simply the message of the Bible. The Bible is God's book of redemption. But I'm not sure tonight if you've ever thought about the great privilege of hearing God's voice. Not only speaking generally through His Word, but perhaps you can recall times in your life whenever you sat in gospel meetings, whenever you sat at the knee of your mother or father or perhaps your grandparents and they spoke to you and you felt the weight of God's Word upon your soul and you knew that you needed to get saved and you knew that you were lost and you knew that God had provided a Savior and that troubled you. And you were troubled about your sin and you used to think about eternity and where you would be. I don't know if you've ever considered how great a privilege that is to have heard the gospel and to have understood it and for it even to have troubled and to have pricked your conscience. But this text of scripture that we've read four times this evening in four different parts of the Bible, I believe indicates that God can speak for the last time. Because it says today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. God could be speaking for the last time. Here we have come to the end of another year. Another year has come and another year is gone and another year of opportunity has been passed by multitudes. You've got one more year to repent of and one less year to repent in. And yet tonight I believe that God has burdened my heart with this message, perhaps just for one soul tonight, because let me say it clearly, you could be hearing God's word and God's voice for the last time. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart. You know, you can harden your heart whenever you listen to God's word. That word harden, it just means to stiffen up your neck. And to become calloused against the pricking of the conscience. And to harden your heart against the call of God's word. Now, as we speak upon this subject tonight of hardening the heart, I want to give you three very, very simple reasons why hardening your heart against the voice and the call of God is such a foolish thing to do. I want to tell you tonight that it's a foolish thing to harden your heart against God's voice. First of all, because of the inevitable requirement of the soul. The inevitable requirement of the soul. Now, the Bible doesn't really pull any punches. God doesn't speak in some sort of flowery language that we cannot understand. God speaks clearly in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27. I remember years ago speaking to a man whenever we were doing outreach, and he says, you know, the Bible's full of contradictions. You ever hear people saying that? And I kind of pleaded ignorance, and I got the Bible out of my pocket, and I looked him in the answer, is it really full of contradictions? And he says that there's contradictions all over the Bible, almost one in every page. And I handed him the Bible and says, could you show me just one? And then he kind of got quiet. He says, well, I can't remember exactly where they are. And he says, well, if there's one in every page, it'll not take you long to find one. Well, maybe if you can't remember where they are, you could remember what they are. And well, I just can't remember, but I have heard that the Bible's full of contradictions. And I remember saying to him, you know, the Word of God says, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. He says there's no contradiction there now, is there? Nobody that has ever lived has ever proved that text of Scripture to be a contradiction. The human mortality rate is 100%. And today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts, because inevitably, someday, at some time, at some place, God will require your soul of you. And then, where will you be in God's eternity? You see, that the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die. You can miss a doctor's appointment and it might or it might not have very much significance. You can miss a dentist's appointment or an appointment with an insurance man or a businessman or some other thing and it might or it might not have consequence because after all you can maybe get another appointment or you can just forego the appointment and forget about it altogether. But there is one appointment that you will keep whether you want to or not. And that is the appointment with your Maker. There is a day that God has set whenever your soul will leave your body and you will go out to meet your Maker. God alone knows the date. You know, death is very simply whenever the soul departs from the body. The Word of God says in Genesis chapter 35 verse 18, I think it's concerning Rachel, it says, it came to pass that while her soul was in departing that she died. And that's what happens whenever an individual dies. You know, even doctors can't really explain what happens when a person dies. They can maybe get the heart beating or keep it beating, but they can't seem to bring life back into a body or the personality of an individual back into a body, although clinically they can do certain things for it. But that indicates to me that whenever a person dies, something leaves the body. You know, tonight you have a soul. And there'll come a day whenever God will say, that's it, your time is up. Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. And let me say that your soul is every bit as real as your body. Some people think that perhaps taking their own life will put an end to suffering. Maybe if I took my own life and I committed suicide and I overdosed or hung myself in the attic or took a shotgun or some other thing, then it'll just be peace. But they don't realize that the teaching of God's Word is that whenever death comes, the soul just steps out of the body and is every bit as real. You remember in Luke chapter 16, it says there was a certain rich man that was clothed with purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. It says that the rich man died and he was buried. Body now in the ground, but it says in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. Maybe he had never thought that that man had a soul, and as soon as he died, that soul would feel and see and hear everything that his body felt. Because the soul is every bit as real as the body. Have you ever thought much about the day that you will die? Now, I don't want to be overly morbid tonight, but we have to be honest and we have to face facts and face reality. God has spurred your life to the end of 2008. But you think that God is under any obligation to give you another 365 days, each of 24 hours in this earth, to seek the Lord while he may be found? You ever thought about when you will die? You ever thought about where you might be whenever you die? Have you ever thought about how you will die? The Word of God says in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 12 that in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it lie. You watch a man in the forest with a saw or a chainsaw and he cuts down a tree. That tree is cut off from its life source and it falls and it lies there. It'll never lie anywhere else until somebody comes and moves it. And so it is with you in a spiritual state. If you die without Christ, you'll be in eternity without Christ. But if you die in Christ, you'll be in eternity with Christ. You notice that the text of Scripture says today. Doesn't hold out hope necessarily for tomorrow, but it says today. That's because this could be the last time you hear God's voice. I've already quoted the text of Scripture that's found in Luke chapter 12, verse 20, where the Lord said to a man described as the rich young fool, the Lord came and says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." That's why the Word of God says today, because this night could be the last night that you spend on this earth. What if this was your night? I remember reading a sermon by an American Baptist. He was a fundamentalist and he had been preaching in a tent campaign in a city in the state of Tennessee called Chattanooga. And he wasn't a prophet or anything like that, but as this individual was preaching, he stopped halfway through the message and he said something that he'd never said before and never said since, but he felt, in a sense, constrained to say it. And he says, somebody sits in this meeting tonight and you hear my voice. And you hear the voice of God's word. And tonight you hear God's voice, but tomorrow you'll be in God's hell. And there was a young man that sat that night in that gospel campaign, listening to God's word, and he thought about getting right with God. Indeed, he spoke to somebody on the way out and indicated that the Lord had spoken to his heart, but felt that he would maybe come back some other night. And as the story went, that young man was killed in an automobile accident on the way home. What if this was the last time you would ever hear God's voice? Let me ask you tonight, is your heart tender and is your heart soft? Did you realize that every day that you live on God's earth is a gift sent from the Lord? And as we come to the end of another year, God has given you 365 gifts. What have you done with them? You know, there's no second chance whenever we cross the Jordan. Only one life. And hell has got no exits. It's amazing, isn't it, that people plan for everything except eternity. People will have their own doctor, car insurance, house insurance, medical assurance. They'll see to their education. They'll pay their taxes. They'll have somebody, perhaps, to look after their dog. They'll sort out their holidays for the next year, maybe 2 years. They'll take out policies and programs. They'll invest money in various bank accounts and ISAs and TESAs and invest for the future. But nobody ever really thinks about investing for eternity. People have all sorts of professionals to look after so many small aspects of their lives. Somebody even to clip their toenails for them if it suits them. But yet the only thing that you have that you can call your own is your soul. And tonight your soul hangs in the balance. You see, the Word of God says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? The only thing that you really own tonight, that God has given you and that you will have for all eternity, is your soul. And let me ask you tonight, who's looking after it? It's not in your hands to keep soul and body together. It's not in your hands to escort your soul into God's heaven, or in the hands of any prophet or priest or preacher or church or denomination. Your soul is the most precious thing that you have. But what if tonight God was to say, that's it. This night thy soul shall be required of thee, and you've hardened your heart for the last time. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Why? Because, first of all, because of the inevitable requirement of the soul. But secondly, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts because of the incessant resisting of God's Spirit. Whenever Stephen was preaching in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 51, he spoke to the Jewish people and he said in Acts 7, 51, ye stiff-necked. In other words, he was accusing these people of hardening their necks and hardening their hearts. And he says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Oh, you've gone through all the ritual. You've been maybe circumcised the eighth day. You've maybe been brought up according to Jewish laws and customs, and you've kept the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of the Passover and the Feast of Pentecost. And oh, you're so religious, but you're uncircumcised in your heart and in your ears. It says you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. And that just proves that the Holy Ghost spoke to men and women in the Old Testament. There's no such thing as the Spirit of God being some New Testament doctrine or theology. The Spirit of God was there before Christ ever walked this earth in the flesh. Far back as the book of Genesis, we read about individuals hardening their hearts against the Holy Ghost. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You know, there's no such thing as just getting saved whenever you like. How often do people say, well, just let me live for maybe 5 years. Let me get through my teenage years. Let me get into my early 20s and then I'll maybe get saved, will you? Without the prompting of God's Spirit? Without God convicting you, do you really think you'll have any sort of desire to come to Christ? Well, maybe let me get married and settle down and bring my family into the world, and maybe then I will get saved, will you? Well, let me live my life and let me settle down into retirement, and maybe whenever I get a little bit closer to the edge of eternity, then I'll think about things and then I will get saved, will you? You think God's Spirit will still be speaking to you 20, 30, 40 years from now? What obligation has God even got to speak to you tonight? Let me, in that matter, ask you, is God speaking to your heart tonight? Or are you just sitting through another meeting thinking, I hope this preacher finishes by 8 o'clock because I want to get home and I've heard it all before and it's nothing really new or nothing exciting and well, really, God isn't speaking to my heart. Well, if that's the case, you're on dangerous ground. You see, so often the Bible speaks about God speaking clearly and audibly into the consciences, into the hearts, into the minds of individuals, and people hardening their heart. That's why this text of Scripture has been given. Genesis 6:3, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. Proverbs 1:24, I have called and ye have refused. Isaiah 65:12, I called and ye did not answer. Luke 14:24, none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Matthew 25:23-37, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens, but ye would not. How oft would I, but ye would not. John 5:40, ye will not come that ye might have life. Romans 10:21, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And that word hardeneth his neck is the same word for harden that we get in Psalm 95:8, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. It means to become callous. The book of Ephesians says that you can become past feeling concerning your sin. 1 Timothy 4:2 says you can have your conscience seared with a hot iron. I remember listening to somebody speaking, and they were saying they sat once in a gospel campaign, and Sammy Workman was the evangelist. Sam Workman says that one thing that spoke to him as a young boy concerning the leading of God's Spirit, he says, there used to be a blacksmith shop down in our town. And he says, I remember going in one day and I watched the old blacksmith, and he put his tongs into the furnace and he took out a piece of iron and it was white hot. And he put it on the anvil and it was soft and it was malleable, and he began to beat it with a hammer and put it back into the fire and out again, and soon he had this perfectly formed horseshoe. And after the clang off it began to get a little bit more crispy, he would have looked at it, and then he would have put forth his hand, he would have took the horseshoe out of the tongs, and he would have thrown it into the corner. And he says, I ran over one day, and I saw the horseshoe that he'd just taken out of the tongs, and it was black, and it looked cold, and he says, I lifted up, and he says, it scalded the hand off me, and I dropped it immediately. And he says, the blacksmith went back, and he lifted it again the second time, and he kind of looked at me, and he looked at the horseshoe, and he handled it again, and he smiled, says, what's wrong with you? And he threw it back into the pile. And then he says, I went with the other hand, and I took the very same horseshoe, and I lifted it again. He says, it scalded the hand off me, and now he says, it hurt me. And then he says, he took it again the third time, and he lifted it, and he says, I was confused. And I says, how can you do that? And the old blacksmith just held out his hands. He says, I looked at my young hands as a young lad just running about school. Hadn't reached his teenage years, and they were all soft and tender. And I looked at the hands of this old blacksmith. Hard. Calloused. And he could lift and handle that which would once have hurt him and burned him and scorched him and troubled him. And now he can just handle it because his hands, in a sense, were past feeling. Is that you tonight? You've sat in gospel services, church meetings for years, and maybe tonight you're past feeling. You maybe say, well, the preaching's not as good as it was 20 years ago. That might be the case, but it's still the same old message. You can be damned this side of hell, you know. As sure of hell as if you're already there. You've heard God's voice before, but let me ask you, can you hear it tonight? Is God speaking to your soul right now? Are you troubled about your sin that God hates? Are you troubled that someday you're going to die and you're not ready? Are you troubled today that you're maybe breaking a father or a mother's heart because of your sin? Are you troubled tonight that there are loved ones in the glory whose dear forms you often miss? But whenever you close your earthly story, will you join them in their bliss, or do you say, I don't care. I don't care if I go to heaven, and I don't care if I go to hell. I'm here for the here and now. You know, whenever I was in Australia, there was a lady, she was, I suppose, what we would call a rough diamond. She'd grown up in New Zealand and she'd been, I don't think she was ever married, but she'd had some partners in life, and she'd had different children to different men, and some of those men were in prison, and she had two children. She used to send them along to the Sunday school, and we got friendly with this lady, and Although we didn't have much in common, she was a very likable person. We used to ask her to come to church, and she started to come on a Sunday morning. She used to come just in her jeans and different things, and then she started putting on a nice dress and different things. Then she started to come on a Sunday night. I remember speaking to this lady from time to time, and she started talking about problems that she had in her life, and talking about she was beginning to pray a little bit and think a little bit about things. We'd organized a gospel mission just for a week, and I remember speaking to her and saying, "Will you come?" And she says, "I'm definitely going to come. I'm going to try and get along as much as I can." And the mission wasn't for another few months, and we were really praying for every Tuesday night. I can remember one night as we were speaking in the meeting, I could look down and I could see this lady listening in a way that she'd never listened before. And I can say in all honesty, I've never seen somebody sitting in a meeting visibly as troubled as this lady was. She was sitting at the back, and there were people, as there often are in meetings, that didn't have a care in the world, thinking about all sorts of different things. But if there's one woman that was listening in the meeting, it was this lady, Amanda, that sat at the back, and her eyes were filled up and she was welling up. And I remember she left the meeting, she didn't say anything, and she kind of shook my hand and went out past me. And I remember thinking during that meeting, she's maybe going to get saved tonight. You know, that lady was never back in a church meeting. Certainly not during my time, and as far as I know, not during anyone else's. And I often think, did she hear God's voice? You see, sometimes people sit in church services for a certain period of time, and then suddenly the Spirit of God convicts them and they realize what it's all about. They realize that if I'm going to live the Christian life, it's going to cost me something. And I'm going to have to take up my cross and follow the Lord. And I can either sit in these meetings and play church and just go along with things, or I can be absolutely honest and say, if I'm not going to get saved, there's no point in me listening to this kind of preaching, and I might as well just go and live for the world. And I believe that's what happened to that woman. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You see, there is a line unseen by man. It crosses every path, the hidden line that divides God's mercy from God's wrath. There were people in Scripture that hardened their hearts and heard God's voice for the last time. I think about Pharaoh. I think about Judas. I think about Felix. I think about Agrippa. Maybe tonight your conscience sleeps tonight. Your conscience one day will be awakened, if not in time, then in eternity. And in God's hell, your conscience will be a whip to lash you as far as the eternal ages roll. You know, to resist the Son of God and to reject the gospel message, it's as if the Lord's on the cross tonight behind me. Kneel there. Visage marred more than that if any man. Bearing God's wrath, and you know what it's all about. And you take his body off the cross and you lay it across the door of this church. And you tramp over him on the way out and you'll say, I will not have this man to rule over me. And you harden your heart. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts because of the inevitable requirement of the soul. Because of the incessant resisting of the Spirit. But lastly, because of the imminent return of the Savior. You know, Jesus Christ is coming back again. It's the church's forgotten doctrine and it's the world's forgotten reality. That this world in which we're living, in this age in which we're living in, ultimately it's going to come to an end. The disciples realized that, and sitting in the Mount of Olives, they said to the Lord, tell us, Matthew 24, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And the Lord sat down and he was glad to tell them what the world would be like before the Lord would come. He says there's going to be deceivers, false religions and false cults. That's why people say, why are there so many denominations? Why are there so many religions? Well, the Lord said it would be so in the last days. He said there would be wars, nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. He says there would be an increase in disease, pestilences all over the world, famines, earthquakes in different places. He says, God's people, you'll be persecuted. Some of you will even go to a martyr's grave. He says iniquity and sin will abound and intensify beyond measure. He will say even the church will be marked by the love of many waxing cold, backsliders everywhere you look. He says the gospel will go forth to all nations and all islands. And he says then there will be a period of tremendous tribulation. These are the signs of the times. And maybe God's speaking to you. What if the Lord was to come tonight? Would your heart be hard? One father left his little boy to go on a business trip, and he went on his journey. And the wee fellow says, "Dad, are you coming back again?" He was an American. He says, "Yes, son." He says, "I'll be back in the fall." The wee fellow says, "Well, what does that mean?" He says, "How will I know whenever it's coming into the fall?" He says, "You begin to look up, and as you see the leaves and the trees changing from green to yellow to brown to red and then beginning to fall off, that will be the sign that your father's coming home soon." And as we look at the leaves on the trees of time, we can see they're beginning to change colour. We're living in changing times, aren't we? Who would have thought after the boom of 2006 and 2007 and the so-called Celtic Tiger in the south of Ireland and the soaring house prices in the north and business booming and the economy it's spiralling and doing so well that less than a year later we'd be in the position that we're in tonight. Times are changing, aren't they? You prepared for the Lord's return? The old Bible college professor went round every student in his class and says, "I want you to be honest. Do you think the Lord could come tonight?" One student says, "Well, according to my theological views and my views of the end times, there's still some prophecy to be fulfilled, so I don't believe that really it's possible for the Lord to come tonight. No, I don't think he could come." Then he went to another and says, "Well, do you think he could come?" And he says, "Well, I suppose if I'm honest, I don't really believe that he will come or could come at this present time. He maybe come and maybe X number of years." And to a man, every person in the Bible college says, "I don't believe he'll come today." And then the Bible college professor quoted one verse of Scripture, Matthew 24, verse 44. "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, Son of Man cometh." The Bible says the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, I don't know what thieves are like in Coleraine, but I'll tell you, down in Lisburn where I come from, they don't ring people up and say, "Hello, I'm your local cat burglar. I'm going to be in your area in the month of December or maybe coming into January. And is there any day that you're going to be out that would be a suitable time for me to burgle and ransack your house and take all your goods?" That's not the way they work, and that's not the way the Lord works either. People have tried to set dates and have been proved wrong. But what if the Lord was to come tonight? Would you be ready? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Whenever the Lord gave all these signs, he launched into a parable in Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins. 5 were ready, 5 weren't. 5 saved, 5 lost. But all of them knew something of the coming of the bridegroom. But whenever the bridegroom came, only 5 were ready. They all looked the same, they all dressed the same, they all talked the same, they all walked the same, they all hung around the same places, but only 5 were ready. And there was a great separation whenever the bridegroom came. Why were they not ready? Because he didn't come at the time that they expected him to come. What if the Lord was to come tonight? Husband and wives separated. Brothers and sisters separated. Parents and children separated. Fathers, mothers separated. Because you've hardened your heart and you've heard God's voice for the last time. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You know, there's no room tonight for procrastination. You've been saying for years, haven't you, "I'll get saved some other time, but not tonight." Well, then when? Some other night? "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Luke chapter 14, verse 17 says, "Come. All things are now ready." There's nothing more you need for God's salvation. There's nothing more you need for forgiveness of sins than what the Lord has prepared on the cross of Calvary. Will you come tonight? Or will you harden your heart for the last time? Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I've got two little booklets with me by Alan Cairns. It's called A New Beginning. And if you're troubled tonight and you want one of these, I'll have them with me at the door. Just say, could I take one of your books? Or if you want to speak to me. But what better way to end the year and to start a new year than getting right with God? Born again by the Spirit of God, kept by the power of God, satisfied by the Spirit of God, saved by God's grace. When you come and trust the Savior in this last Lord's Day of an old year. Amen. Father, we pray that thou wilt speak on to hearts. We pray that thou wilt have mercy. We realize, O God, that naturally speaking, every person outside of Christ will harden their heart. Father, we pray that thy Spirit, O God, will compel them to come in and be born again. Father, answer prayer. Save souls. Restore backsliders. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.